마리가
마리가
마리가 마리가 예수와 마리가
And you're mighty
Mighty
You're mighty
Mighty
Mighty God
Mighty God, mighty God Yes, you are mighty God
You are mighty
Mighty
And you're mighty
Mighty
Mighty God
Mighty God, mighty God Yes, you are mighty God
Yes You are holy
you
God
are holy God
You are holy
You are holy God
Holy
Holy God, holy God
How many believe He's a holy God?
Holy God
You are holy God
You are holy God
Yeah
You are holy God
Holy
Holy God, holy God
Yes,
yes you are holy God
And you're holy If you believe He's a holy God, then worship with us. This is our praise and worship thing. You are an awesome God.
You are an awesome God.
Awesome.
Awesome God. Awesome God.
Yes.
You are an awesome God.
You are an awesome God.
You are an awesome God.
Awesome.
You are an awesome God.
Awesome.
Awesome God, awesome God, yes, you are awesome God.
And you're awesome,
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 awesome.
You're an awesome God.
Awesome God, awesome God, yes, you are an awesome God.
Awesome,
awesome,
awesome.
Awesome God, awesome God, yes, you are an awesome God.
You are righteous God.
You are righteous God.
Righteous.
You are righteous God. Righteous God, righteous God, yes, you are righteous God.
You are righteous God.
You are righteous God.
Righteous.
You are righteous God.
Yes.
Righteous God, yes, you are righteous God.
And you're righteous.
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 Righteous. Righteous God, yes, you are righteous God.
And you're righteous.
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 Righteous. Righteous God, yes, you are righteous God.
And you're mighty,
mighty,
awesome,
awesome,
righteous,
righteous,
mighty,
mighty.
And you're awesome,
awesome,
He's so awesome,
awesome.
And you're mighty. Holy,
holy,
awesome God, yes, you are an awesome God. Awesome God, yes, you are an awesome God.
holy, Lord. You're holy, and we lift you up and magnify your name.
As I look around and I see all the works that your hands have made, the awesomeness of you, and how your love will never fade. Mere words cannot express how I feel for you. Glory divine. But as a token of my love, here's what I'll do. I lift my hands and cry,
Lord, you're holy,
you're holy,
Lord, you're holy, and we lift you up and magnify your name. By your name,
there's not enough words that I can say to tell you just how much I appreciate all the wonderful things
you've
given me. Your loving kindness, your tender mercy.
It's my desire.
It's my desire.
And tell you how much I love you.
You're worth all the honor, Lord.
You're worthy of all the praise.
I don't know how you can love me.
Right now.
How you can give me so much mercy.
Yeah.
You didn't have to suffer and die for me. Way back on Calvary.
I thank you.
In the morning.
I thank you.
In the noonday.
Lord, thank
I thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. I thank you.
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 Lord, you're worthy of all the praise.
Wonderful, glorious, holy and righteous, victorious. Conqueror and omnipotent and mighty, healer, deliverer, shield and defense, strong tower and my best friend, omnipotent, omnipresent, soon coming King, Alpha, Omega, Lord of everything, holy, holy, holy is your name. Shield and
Technicians, there we go, there we go, there we go, there we go. Thank you very much, thank you very much. Y'all give Deacon Killian a hand, praise the Lord. He's doing an excellent job in overseeing our sound ministry. Good morning to everybody. I'd like to ask you to turn with me for our communion scripture to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Matthew chapter 28. Do you have it? Matthew 28, beginning at the first verse. Happy Resurrection Sunday to all of you. The first verse says, "Now after the Sabbath, near dawn of the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala and the other Mary went to take a look at the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the boulder back and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his garments as white as snow. And those keeping guard were so frightened at the sight of him that they were agitated and they trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be alarmed and frightened, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, as he said he would do. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they left the tomb hastily with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And as they went, behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Hail,' or greetings. And they went up to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be alarmed and afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go into Galilee, and there they will see me.' While they were on their way, behold, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had occurred. And when they, the chief priests, had gathered with the elders and had consulted together, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'Tell people his disciples came at night and stole him away while we were sleeping. And if the governor hears of it, we will appease him and make you safe and free from trouble and care.' So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been current among the Jews to the present day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed and made appointment with them. And when they saw him, they fell down and worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus approached and breaking the silence, said to them, "All authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Amen." We are so grateful and thankful, blessed to be here. And amen, we are blessed to be here. And we're so thankful to celebrate a Savior who paid a debt that he did not owe. So thankful for a Savior who paid a price we could not pay. Thankful to be the apple of God's eye, and that Jesus is in our place, keeping an agreement that we can't keep. And so for those things, we should be grateful, we should be thankful, and we should give God all the praise for being so kind and so good. Take a moment, if you will, to think on those things and to thank God for what he has done in our stead and on our behalf. On the night that our Savior was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it, and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Let us eat together." The Bible says, "In like manner, he took the cup and he blessed the cup and said, 'This is the blood of the New Testament.'" We do this to show his death, his burial, and his resurrection until he returns. Let us drink together. Hallelujah. 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 Sing, let's climb beneath the flood. Ushers, Deacon Barnes, if anyone is out in the vestibule, you can let them in at this time. Everyone, there is a fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge, and sinners plunge beneath the blood, lose all their guilty. Anyone who'd like to come to the altar may do so now. Lose all disdain. Lose all their guilty stain, and sinners plunge beneath the blood, lose all their guilt.
Our Father and our God, it is once and again an opportunity to simply say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for such an awesome expression of your unconditional love for us by paying such an ultimate price for us. What love, hath no man. But thank you, Heavenly Father, that you saw fit to look upon us with your kindness, your grace, and your mercy. You continue to supply us with all that we need to walk this journey of life. Most of all, the comfort of knowing your presence is with us. Dear Lord, we just can't acknowledge our gratitude enough for all that you continue to do for us. And dear Lord, we who are the chosen ones, that which you are doing through us, we simply say thank you, Lord. We take not your selection lightly, dear Lord, because you didn't have to. Dear Lord, I thank you for these, my brother and my sisters, that have come to you this morning. If they don't have petitions on their heart, dear Lord, they come with gratitude, knowing that every good and perfect gift has come from you. Realizing that we are non-deserving of it, Lord, but simply because of your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you chose to give us, impart wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your ways. Choosing to make us more into your image. Yes, Lord. Yes. Dear Lord, we pray that you would continue the work that you are doing in our lives. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for just bringing us through many trials and tribulations that we face along the way. We have the peace and comfort in knowing that if God be for us, who can be against us? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for just your presence along us when we have trials and tribulations, dangers, struggles, disappointments, the tears, dear Lord, that flow. We just thank you for being an ever-present help in our lives. And you continue to prove that you are God and beside you that there is none other. Dear Lord, we just pause in our quietness just to bask in your presence. We don't have to tell you anything, Lord, because you know everything. But thank you for searching our minds and hearts and continue to supply what we do need. Keep us ever humble, dear Lord, and with a mind of gratitude and appreciation, and mindful to give you all the honor, the presence, and the glory that you rightly deserves. It is in Jesus' name that we give thanks for it. Amen. Thank you.
precious Lamb of God.
Now behold the Lamb, the precious Lamb of God, born into sin that I may live again. He's the precious Lamb of God. When I always didn't do right,
yeah.
He always left. He told me to go right, but I'm standing right here,
yeah.
In the midst of my tears. Lord, I thank you to be the Lamb of God. Ooh.
Thank you for the Lamb.
Thank you.
The precious Lamb.
You're the precious Lamb of God.
Because of your grace, I can finish
this race.
The precious Lamb of God.
Even when I broke your heart.
Yeah.
My sins tore us apart. But I'm standing right here in the midst of my tears. I claim you to be the Lamb of God. I can begin.
Yeah.
You washed away all of my sins. From the sun that's free, it's truly free indeed. I claim you to be the Lamb of God.
Thank you, behold the Lamb.
Now behold the Lamb.
The precious Lamb.
Precious,
of God.
The precious, precious Lamb.
Born into sin that I may live again. The precious Lamb of God. Oh, 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 oh,
oh,
Question is,
man of Galilee
that came
to earth to set the captive free.
Yes, I know.
Yes, I know the man.
Yes, I know.
Yes, I know, yes, the
I
man.
Know.
Yes, I know the man. I know the man. So much for being who you are, what you are, and ask that you will now speak to us according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise again for the mid-morning choir. Thank you, Minister McFarland, Minister Terry, Dr. Jones, and mid-morning choir. Go with me, and Deacon Frank, I'm sorry. Go with me, if you will, to Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews chapter 2. It's said so often, but in my later years, I find that I am truly grasping the profound nature of the simple statement made that God does what he does not have to do. Yeah. Hebrews 2, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 14. Hebrews the second chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. Since therefore these his children share in flesh and blood, in the physical nature of human beings, he himself, in a similar manner, partook of the same nature, that by going through death, he might bring to nothing and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. And also that he might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage throughout the whole course of their lives. For as we all know, he, Christ, did not take hold of angels, the fallen angels, to give them a helping and delivering hand. But he did take hold of the fallen descendants of Abraham to reach out to them a helping and delivering hand. So it is evident that it was essential that he be made like his brethren in every respect, in order that he might become a merciful, sympathetic, and faithful high priest in the things related to God, to make atonement and propitiation for the people's sins. For because he himself in his humanity has suffered in being tempted, tested, and tried, he is able immediately to run to the cry of assist and relieve those who are being tempted and tested and tried, and who therefore are being exposed to suffering. God's word for God's people. I want to talk today about the IRS. I want to talk today about IRS. Let's take the article V away. I want to talk today about IRS. Let's say you have someone in your life, not necessarily a child, but you have someone in your life that consistently, habitually, chronically needs help. It's not necessarily because they are not able, but for some reason they just can't get it together. This is someone in your life who you love, yet you have come to the point where you must try to balance what is needful, what is required, with what you can and what you cannot do. At this point in your relationship and at this point in your life, they have sucked you dry. And they have become like vampires. Every time you see them, for them it's at night. Every time you see them, they want a bite. And when they take that bite, they gonna suck you of everything you have regarding your livelihood, your life, your family, your everything, but leave just a little to keep you alive. Because they are coming back. You have gotten to the place where you didn't mind helping at first, But now, it's to the point where you're having to go into your life savings. I'm laughing because I'm getting all kind of comments from the peanut gallery over here. You've gone into your life savings. It's good to see you, Bruh Staples. So good to see Bruh Staples back with us today. Going into your life savings. You at the point now where you got to think about whether you need to take out a second mortgage. And all of these particular things for this individual who you know very well ain't done with you. And you know that even if you take out the mortgage or you do whatever you need to do, few days will pass. You will see them again. Same story, different day. And they always leave you saying, I'm going to pay you back. Now, after years of this, you may get to the place where you say, I've given everything I can give. There's nothing left. I don't have anything else to give. I'm tapped out. And then you back away and you leave them alone. When you back away, you have to make a commitment to yourself that even though they will still call on you, do little things to let you feel as if they appreciate you. Hey, Sister Ethel, that's all I'm going to say because I don't want to say nothing else. I don't want to get in trouble. Say little things to make you think that they appreciate you, but you know that their actions are not really consistent with their words, their behaviors, their habits, their patterns, and there's something about them, you know, they just can't help it. Some people are just wired that way. Now many, well, I know this group, but aside from this group to my right in the front, many of you would probably get to the point where you would need to distance yourself. Is that correct?
Amen.
Hello? Y'all, I can't hear you.
Amen.
All right, thank you. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you. You'd have to distance yourself, and you will get to the point where you say, enough.
Yes.
Right? Y'all believe that? We come today because that is exactly how Jesus should feel. We come here today because he could easily say, I paid that debt with the price they couldn't pay. I even gave my life enough. Is enough. He could easily say, I've given everything I can give, but still there will be days when they won't even thank me. I've given everything that I can give, but still they don't seem to want to draw closer to me.
Now look at the person next to you, and please, if you don't mind, tell him he ain't talking about you. We talk about if he had come down from the cross, my soul would still be lost. Have you ever wondered what happened if he never got up? Oh yeah, he died. He said, it's finished. Atonement was taken care of. But what if Jesus said, that's enough? Now they on their own. Aren't y'all glad Jesus ain't you? Jesus went a little bit farther. He went a little bit farther. How? Because he not only looked at the fact that they are going to need me after this, after the cross, but in addition to that, he said, and they are going to need me to help them. So that my helping them is not commensurate with their gratitude toward me. I've got to help them out of my love, not out of my expectations. And so that's why the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 that it was based on how intensely he loves us, not how intensely you love him. How intensely he loves us, which is why he didn't stay in the ground, which is why his spirit could easily have gone back when he saw Mary. He could easily have said, okay, Mary, I'm out. Y'all have a good one. But he did go back to heaven, but he came back. Many of us know, if I did all of that, and now I'm going home. Once I get home, that's when me and the Father are going to have another conversation. But Jesus said, not only am I going to come back down here, I'm going to stay 40 days, give them the last few instructions they need, and then I'm going up. But when I go up, see, I'm God. I'm God the Word. I created everything. So I'm used to being in my omnipotent form. I'm used to being something that human beings cannot see. I'm used to being in a position where other angels are always bowing before me, acknowledging me as the creator. I'm used to all of that. So I should shed this human form and go back and be who I was, God the Word, with God the Father, with God the Holy Spirit, the creator, the manifester of everything, the sustainer of everything, the one who initiates, the one who catalyzes everything. I am that Word. It does not exist unless I give it existence. It does not stay there unless I tell it to stay there. I am the one who told the waters how far to come. I'm the one that holds Saturn in its gravity. I'm the one that allows the grass to grow in springtime. I am the one, and I should be in my omnipotent, omniscient form. But if I do, they ain't got nobody to represent them. So instead of going back to who I was, I gotta stay in flesh. Instead of going back to who I was, I gotta stay in flesh. Why? Because Calvary wasn't the end of the deal.
Calvary absolved them so that I can justifiably represent them. I can't have my holiness representing a dead, unholy somebody. So that's why, first of all, I've got to identify with who they are. They are human. So then I must become what I created. I must be like Michael Jordan in the Hall of Fame, who decides to leave the glitz, glamour, and the lights that he is accustomed to come down to a dirt court in somebody's backyard and play basketball there. When I am playing with people who wear my shoes, but I'm no longer in the arena, because I've taken myself out of the spotlight. I have decided to come to a place where I know they won't accept me. I know they won't respect me. I know they will not even acknowledge what I've given up. But again, that's why I gotta come based on what I feel, not based on what they do. So I've got to identify with them. I've got to identify with them so that when they mess up and when the Father wants to condemn them, the Father need only turn his head slightly and he'll see someone like them who happens to be his son. So that the son can turn back to the father and say, have mercy on him. Have mercy. And the son is always in that form to remind the father of the ones that he is caring. So in addition to identifying with them, I then got to do the aura. Aura, is that it? Aura? How you say it? Aura. Anyway, thank you, all right. After I identify with them, I've got to be able to relate to them. Because they aren't cows. They aren't cattle. They aren't just a creation I can throw out there. No, these the Father has decided to take to his bosom. If that be the case, then that means that God the Father cares about what they are experiencing. If he cares about what they are experiencing, then that means I've got to care about what they are experiencing. But in order for me to accurately be able to not only care, but intercede, I need to be able to relate. I need to know what their tears are all about. Not just from an objective point of view, but now I can look with empathy. They're going to need somebody to stand before the Father, even when they recognize and say, Lord, I am here in all of my tears. Isn't that what y'all saying? In all of my tears, I recognize my frailties. I recognize my faults. But here I stand. So when the Father in his divine omnipotence looks down at that worm, I can say, that's how I felt when you were looking down at me.
and for my sake, give them the help they need. For my sake, I know they don't deserve it, but for my sake, would you please keep your angels around them? I know that they going somewhere they ain't got no business going. Amen. You can look at your neighbor and say, now he talking about you. You know what I'm saying? I know they going somewhere they ain't got no business going. But the thing is, they not going to stay there. I know that they are spiritually immature, but they will grow. I know that they are not as wise as they should be. But let's keep them until they get there. Because it would be easy, as he told Moses. Moses was saying, Lord, you gave me all these 2 million hotheads and they walking around with me and this, that, and the other. And so they were walking with Moses and they stood up. We just read this last week. They stood up against Moses. That's where some of the Levites decided they wanted to be the leader. You know what I'm saying? So that's when God said to Moses, I tell you what, back up so I can kill all of them. Didn't he say it, Ding Frank? Didn't he say it, Ding Debbie? We had it in class. The Lord said, no, they done forgot their place. Back up. I'll kill them and give you another group. I ain't never made no Levite no high priest. And if I wanted them to lead, I would have told them. So they ain't going against you. They going against my order. Back up and let me kill them and give you somebody you can work with. Moses said, but Lord, if you do that, everybody gonna say you couldn't bring them out. Everybody gonna say you couldn't make them new. Everybody's going to think God couldn't do it. He could bring them through the Red Sea, but he couldn't bring them into Canaan. So for your sake, don't kill them. Lord said, all right, I tell you what, the ones who making the noise, tell them to come stand out in front of their tents. Yeah, hello, y'all here? Yeah, the ones making the noise, tell them to come stand out in front of the tent. Tell them to bring their children. Tell them to bring their cows and the dog. Stand out in front of your tent. Just stand out. Then, after they stood out, the Lord told Moses, now tell everybody else to get out the way. I told them last week, last week in the Bible study, I said I knew that these were some people we know, because as soon as God told them to get out the way, all of them just moved. The ground opened up. They all fell in. Ground closed up. God said, all right, you can go. Before you go, though, kill the rest of them who were with them. That's what happens when he doesn't have mercy. You can praise him because he's shown you mercy. Why? Because he can relate. The Bible says he feels what you feel. He's experienced what you've experienced. That's why you can never go to him with anything too small. That's why he's always available, listening. He's always there. And he's not listening because he wants to know what's going on. He knows what's going on. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear you ask him for help. my beloved? Because he can relate. He identified, which is why he had to get up. He relates. But the last thing is the S, he supports. He supports. Let me ask a quick question. Is there anyone in here who has ever needed the Lord's help? The Lord's help. Okay, okay. God does not give you a glimpse into tomorrow because you may try to do something in your own power to keep what's supposed to happen tomorrow from happening, which is why every day you lay down and he gives you enough hindsight to thank him for the day you've come through. But he does not give you the foresight to know what tomorrow will bring. It is in that juxtaposition that hope and faith live. Hope finds strength in what I've been through. Faith gets its eyes from looking at him who holds tomorrow in his hand. If you knew what was happening tomorrow, you wouldn't have to depend on him. If you knew what was happening in 55 minutes, now not that it's going to be bad, not that it's going to be bad, but if you knew, God is wise in not giving you that kind of foresight. Because you will become for yourself what only he can be. Y'all know already that we have been through things in our lives we thought we knew what we were doing. Am I talking to anybody? How many of y'all thought y'all were smart? That's a shame. I got a baby at least going to raise her hand. All the old people just ain't doing nothing. How many of y'all can say, if I knew then what I know now? The then had to happen. So that now you know what you don't know. And intentionally, you don't know it because you got to depend on him for it. As I close, I want you to keep in mind, it's not just that he wouldn't come down. You're getting what you're getting now because he got up. Yeah. Tell you one more thing. Revelation 12 says that the devil is accusing you 24 hours. He's waiting for you to mess up so he can appeal to God's justice. Okay, now you said the wages of sin is death. Look at her. You said, not that, you were the one that got rid of folk in the past. Look how many chances you gave him. That seems unjust. How you gonna sit up here and holler about being a just God when it seems like you playing favorites? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because I stuck something in justice called mercy, which gives me the prerogative to exercise it any way I see fit. Why have you gotten as far as you've gotten, come through what you've come through? Why are you stronger today than you were yesterday? Why do you know more now? Why are you still alive when you should be dead? Why are you in a position now where actually you can thank God for things you used to cry about? Why are you in a position where you see God's goodness like you've never seen him before? Why are you now in a position where you know that even if today is not what I'd like for it to be, I thank God because he's shown me enough yesterdays and tomorrows for me to know that this too shall pass. All of that is because God is standing up there, identifying, sitting up there, relating, and he's extending a hand to support you. That's why you have made it this far. That's why we continue to say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, that's why we continue to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's why I can go through the day saying, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. Thou rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, surely.
Take somebody's hand and tell them, I thank God for the IRS. Bow your heads. God, our Father, we thank you. Come on, Minister McFarland, give me some tinkling moves music over. We thank you for being such an example of love, such an example of care. And oh God, thank you for being a God of mercy. There might be somebody here who's not accepted Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Thank you, Lord, right where you are. Just say, Lord, I believe you died for my sins at Calvary, and I believe that you arose 3 days later. If there's somebody who wants to join this fellowship, there are cards in the back of the pews. Feel free to fill one out, and on your way out, put it in the box in the vestibule, and there'll be saints waiting to get in touch with you and waiting to thank you for giving us the honor and the privilege of loving you with the love of Jesus Christ. Now, unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, our King, our potentate, be all the glory, all of the honor,
all of the majesty, all of the dominion, and all of the power. Not only now, but through the ages of the ages, and through the eternities of the eternities. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Let every heart say amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful week.